Welcome into the Poetry Tavern, a place to discuss both reading and writing poetry, spotlighting new poems and ideas every week. Hello all, and welcome into the Poetry Tavern. As always, I'm your host Charlotte, and this week we're going to be talking about personification. So basically, personification is giving human-like characteristics to anything, really, to make human or give the appearance of human to animals, plants, concepts, buildings, anything like that. Before I go on a waffling tangent, let's just get into it with our first poem. The first poem that I want to talk about today is Because I Could Not Stop for Death by Emily Dickinson. I really wanted to talk about the personification of a concept. When I was doing personification, because I think it's really interesting, and we see a lot of, like, personification of the physical, or something that we can actually, like, feel. But I think death is interesting because it isn't, like, something so tangible. I mean, we can perceive it happening, we can see the effect it has on people, but it's not a tangible thing that we can hold or a tangible thing we can touch. Anyway, I just think it's interesting to try and make human a thing we cannot even grasp. So yeah, let's get into it. Because I could not stop for death, he kindly stopped for me. The carriage held but just ourselves and immortality. We slowly drove, he knew no haste, and I had put away my labour and my leisure too for his civility. We passed the school where children strove, at recess in the ring. We passed the fields of gazing grain, we passed the setting sun. Or rather, he passed us, the dews dew quivering and chill, for only gossamer my gown, my tippet only tulle. We paused before a house that seemed a swelling of the ground. The roof was scarcely visible, the cornice in the ground. Since then, 'tis centuries, and yet feels shorter than the day. I first surmised the horse's head were toward eternity. Now, this isn't an especially long poem, but I think, again, the personification of death is really interesting. And it's interesting the way that death is portrayed. Like, I think we, as people, might have the inkling to say, oh, death is cruel, like, but, or like, death doesn't care because it happens to everyone and therefore it is unfeeling or unbiased. But it's interesting that in this, Dickinson portrays death as kind and patient. Because, I mean, death waits for no man is the phrase that, like, we commonly hear, but I think it's interesting that in this process that's almost like grieving herself, we see death give her this patience as she sort of comes to her acceptance of the afterlife and, you know, the fact that she is not the same and she doesn't interact with the world in the same, because the world just passes her by now because she can no longer interact with it because she's dead, or the speaker. And it's just interesting that she, like, acts or talks about death being kind. Because I imagine that there are some who would see it that way, like, death being a kindness if, say, you've already lived a really long life, or if you've, like, been ill, or, I don't know. Like, I've heard people say, like, something along the lines. I'm imagining this kindly figure who knows they are, like, disliked by people, but who still treats them gently when he guides them on. And it feels sweet and, like, such a pleasant way to talk about death. Yeah, it's interesting. It's really interesting to me. Okay, so our second poem for today is Mirror by Sylvia Plath. I read this for the first time ages ago and, like, completely forgot about it. And then I was like doing research for this, and I found it again, and I'm like, oh my god, why did I forget about this poem? It's so lovely and like feels so honest and genuine. So yeah, let's just dive into it before I start doing my thoughts at the top of the poem instead of the end. Okay, Mirror by Sylvia Plath. I am silver and exact. I have no preconceptions. Whatever I see, I swallow immediately, just as it is, unmisted by love or dislike. I am not cruel, only truthful, the eye of a little god four-cornered. Most of the time, I meditate on the opposite wall. It is pink with speckles. I have looked at it so long. I think it is part of my heart, but it flickers. Faces and darkness separate us over and over. Now I am a lake. A woman bends over me, searching my reaches for what she really is. Then she turns to those liars, the candles or the moon. I see her back, and I reflect it faithfully. She rewards me with tears and an agitation of hands. I am important to her. She comes and goes. Each morning it is her face that replaces the darkness. In me she has drowned a young girl, and in me an old woman rises towards her day after day, like a terrible fish. So one of the things I find so fascinating about this poem is that, like, it treats the speaker is the mirror, and I think it's so interesting to come from the perspective of the thing personified, because you almost have to, like, imagine a consciousness on a thing that does not have a consciousness. Like, you are putting yourself in the position of a thing that does not think and feel, and convincing it to think and feel through your own thoughts and feelings. Truly a mirror does not think and feel, but if it could, what would it, I think I've said it'll think and feel a lot. But yeah, what would its perceptions on the world be? And really, a mirror, what its perception of the world is, if it's a static mirror, its perception of the world is the opposite wall, as is talked about in the first stanza. And if it's the lake, and like in the second stanza, it's probably the sky, but it also has this perception of this woman who comes and goes. While the mirror, the reflection sees the young girl, what the woman sees is the old woman, because she gives the image of the young girl every day and sees an old woman. Like, it's almost like talking about perception, I think, in my head. It's talking about how we perceive ourselves, and I think it's really interesting that perhaps what, Plath is suggesting is that the mirror and the lake and our reflection knows how we see ourselves, even if that's not necessarily how it projects us to us. Which is so interesting when you think about, like, personal perspectives on our own reflections, our own selves, and our own self-worth. So it's really interesting to consider, and really fun to sort of, like, think about and get in the weeds of, So, yeah, I'm just going to end it there before I start waffling and say the phrase think and feel and too many more times. Okay, and that brings us to the end of our episode. Thank you all for coming into the Poetry Tavern. Next week, we will talk about... Let's dig into rhyme schemes next week. I think there's a good few examples. I will pick some short poems to try and, like, demonstrate a bunch of different rhyme schemes, and then, like, waffle about them as I am what to do. So yeah, we'll dig into sort of different rhyme schemes next week, and join me back then to see what I come up with. Thanks, bye.